League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Don't sweat the technique.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, let's do our very own coaching carousel. There's three of us. There's six openings in the NFL. We'll do two of these each. We'll just go around the horn. So we'll randomly draw the teams that you're gonna be the owner. We're all going to be the owner of these teams. And then we're going to hire the coach that we want. Now, it has to be like somewhat realistic, like a name that is out there. It can't be like Jeff Fisher. It can't be Dan Campbell. It's got to be a realistic name that's like in the coaching carousel. Which, are we going to include Bill Belichick?
I was just about to ask because the rumors are flying.
His name came up today by Rappaport.
He tried to squelch him today and said, no, he's committed to Carolina and they're still recruiting and on the road.
Yeah, he also said he would be the head coach of the Jets.
What's the buyout, 10 mil?
Yeah, it's 10 mil. It's pretty high.
NFL team could afford
it's
that.
It's nothing though. For Mark Davis.
Jerry wouldn't pay it.
Also done by Brady, though. Like, if Brady really wanted Bill Belichick, tell Bill Belichick a month ago, hey, Bill, we really want you in a month. So it makes me think that they don't necessarily must have Bill Belichick. Because I think if they were in a mindset that we have to have Bill, I think they would have told Bill that 6 weeks ago.
And I know Brady talked to Belichick this week, but I think that's the kind of – we talk about, like, how Jim Crane likes the sexy name. Davis likes the sexy name, too, like when he hired Gruden. I think he'd be all about getting Bill Belichick if Brady was on board with it.
Yeah, so – are we going to include? So we're not going to include Belichick.
I would say no.
Okay. All right. Blankers will go first here. Let's see which team it lands on. The wheel rolling around. Let's see which team it is. Will, it's a long wheel. Still going. All right. It landed on New England. Blankers, you're going first. Blankers, me, Brian's how we always do it. So you're New England.
Mm-hmm.
Who you hired? Mike Vrabel?
Slim Dunk.
They're saying it could get done as early as tomorrow.
Yeah, I just think it's a no-brainer. They did what they had to do by interviewing the guys they had to interview, and all along it was Vrabel's job, and he's gone.
You know, I started to think more about the whole Rooney rule and the Kraft thing a little bit, and I think that there is a defense for Robert Kraft. He interviewed, of course, Pep Hamilton and Byron Leftwich. Mm-hmm. I think he has two defenses. First off, if you absolutely know that you want Mike Vrabel, you cannot interview an assistant coach for a team who's in the playoffs until after the divisional round. It's January 20th. So if you really want Vrabel, then you have to interview, and it's got to be in person. You can do Zoom interviews. Be an in-person interview, which Rooney Rule, you need two minority interviews in person to satisfy the Rooney Rule.
Oh, it's in-person as part of the rule?
Yeah. So like, you can't satisfy the Rooney Rule with two assistant coaches that are still in the playoffs because you can't meet with them in person until January 20th. So if Robert Kraft knows and is hell-bent on Mike Vrabel being his next head coach and he wants to get it done fast, he's limited on who he can interview in person. The second thing is, if you know you're going to hire Vrabel and you know that you're just doing this to check the box of the Rooney Rule and you can't interview minority coaches that are with playoff teams, why wouldn't you bring in offensive minds who could potentially be Vrabel's offensive coordinator? I don't think that he was interviewing them to be head coaches. I think he was satisfying the Rooney Rule, and I think he was interviewing them to see if he would be interested in them as their OC.
Yeah, I think the Jets have been rumored to be hot on the Vrabel trail as well, so I think that from the standpoint it makes sense that they want to get the deal done as soon as possible. I know Schefter said he didn't think any deals were going to be done until after the divisional round. I think that this is a deal that seems like it's going to get done first. And I think it's because they know Vrabel's got other teams that are interested, that they don't want to lose him. I think that what at least they did put some thought into from the standpoint of like a Pep Hamilton, who's worked with a lot of young quarterbacks and is, you know, looked at by a lot of people as a quarterback guru to some degree, to where that made some sense because you have Drake May. The Byron Leftwich thing, the only thing that's weird about it, because he's been an OC, like you said, and he was up for the Tampa job, is the fact that he was out of the league last year.
Well, it makes it easy to interview him. Yeah. Pep was out of the league, too. Pep was doing TV with Chandler Johnson.
Yeah, that's right.
And DJ Bianame. I'm wondering, though, if he was interviewing them to potentially be on Vrabel's staff. So, like, I give Kraft the benefit of the doubt here while also understanding that the Rooney Rule is it's flawed. Yeah.
If you're in New England, though, do you want Leftwich as your OC?
Doesn't necessarily have to be your OC. Could be your quarterback's coach. Could be on the
Pep
offensive staff.
OC. I mean, your quarterback's coach.
I would rather have Byron than Pep.
I would have Byron calling plays.
Either way.
Right, yeah.
I'd rather have him as – well, Pep was a pretty good quarterback coach. All right, next team on the list. I'm doing this one. Let's see where the will lands on, the super long will.
It was longer.
Takes
it was like 20
a long
seconds.
Time. Finally. Chicago. It lands on Chicago. Okay, I'm getting the best coach that's out there. I'm getting Ben Johnson. I get my pick of who's remaining. I have Caleb Williams, a young quarterback that I need to groom and get better. I'm getting the best offensive mind that is on the market. I am the owner of the Bears, and I am signing Ben Johnson to be my head coach.
I like the hire. It makes a lot of sense. Especially since you hurt a division rival, too.
I think that if you get the pick to get him ahead of everybody else, that's the guy that I think a lot of teams want. I had him earmarked for the Bears as well. If the only other option was the guy that I thought was going to get all us, Kingsbury, because he already has a relationship with Caleb. But if you're not going Kingsbury, then you need to get someone for Caleb. So that makes a lot of sense.
Now, obviously Ben has a big factor in this, takes two to tango. But if I'm Chicago and I have my choice between Ben Johnson and Cliff Kingsbury, it's Ben. Mm-hmm. Give me Benny. All right, third spot here is Brian. Brian, the will landed on Jacksonville.
Okay, I will give this before it finishes. I'm hiring Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator from the Bills. Now, I know that might be like, he had a high start. He was a rock star. Then it kind of fell off in Carolina when he was there under, I'm forgetting the name of the coach that was there. He was an offensive coordinator for. But I think the star's on the rise again now in Buffalo, helping the Bills offense become less turnover prone and get them to arguably another level with less talented wide receiver. I'd like to give Joe Brady a chance here with the Jaguars, see if he can help Trevor Lawrence and crew.
See that they asked Josh Allen about it today, and they're like, "What can you say?" And he was like, "Nothing. He's terrible." And you know, he was downplaying it because he doesn't want anybody to even interview him.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Brady's a head coach is interesting.
He might be. I will concede he might be a guy that's better as an OC just better as a coordinator than he is a head coach. But I'd like to give it a shot here.
Okay.
Because I mean. Obviously, it fell off in Carolina, but that wasn't as the head coach. That was an OC there. So I'd like to see how it works as an OC.
Okay. All right. Next up on the list, Blanker's back up again. The will going to land on the Jets.
Oh, another easy one for me. I think it's Aaron Glenn. Aaron Glenn played for the Jets.
I don't think that's the favorite.
No, but he's the owner.
I'm the owner, and I'm picking a guy.
Woody Blankers.
Yeah, and I'm not going to ask my kid, I don't want my kid in the locker room anymore, and I want a defensive-minded guy that can take the defense that they have with a lot of weapons on defense and make the most of that, and then I will hire a guy on offense that can do something with the weapons without a quarterback. But I think Aaron Glenn's the right guy for that job.
I take that back. He actually is the favorite right now.
Aaron Glenn's the favorite to go to the Jets?
No, that's according to one, because obviously all these books have their own odds.
What's the odd?
This is from Jimmy Shapiro, but they have Aaron Glenn as a 2-1 favorite. Next is their interim coach, Jeff Ulbrich.
Oof.
So Rex isn't even in the run?
Rex is third at 5-2, plus 250.
I think Rex talked too much already.
That's their top three, Aaron Gross. Glenn, Ulbrich, and Rex Ryan, which that to me is Aaron Glenn and don't care about the next two.
I'm rooting for Aaron Glenn a lot. I'd rather Vrabel. Him go to the Jets than the Saints. I think Vrabel's just being locked to go to the Patriots, though.
I think, yeah, because otherwise they were very, very interested.
Vrabel did have an interview with the Jets. I think that's why he's talked about there. But like obviously everyone Weasel thinks wanted. He's going to go to
Vrabel.
He didn't want Rex Ryan?
I don't think so. I think he trashed Rex Ryan.
I thought he had him on the show. I thought he had him on the Jake Asman show.
Doesn't mean he's not going to trash him when he gets a chance.
You're right. I would like Aaron Glenn to go to the Jets because I don't want him to go to the Saints. I'm rooting for Aaron Glenn. I want him to have success. I think the Jets are a better option. I think.
That's where he's favored for the other job is the Saints.
All right. I'm next up on the list. The will's going to land on the Raiders. Bill Belichick.
We already took him off the list.
Bill Belichick. Let me have
Bill
Belichick.
You can't have Bill Belichick. He's off the list.
Man, I don't know who I want for the Raiders. Okay, Belichick's off.
Take his son.
I want Belichick.
It feels like you're really getting to the role of Raiders ownership, not being able to make a decision.
Take the other Belichick.
No, you know who I'm going to go with here? I'm going to go with Brian Flores. I think Brian Flores is who they were hoping Antonio Pierce would be.
That's possible.
I'm going to go with Brian Flores. I wonder if there's a – was Brian Flores at New England whenever Brady was at New England?
Oh, yeah. I believe so. Yep.
I mean, Brady's – it's been a while since Brady was in New England. Let's see. When was Brady's last year? Brady's,
I thought Flores was there with 2019. Belichick.
2019 was Brady's last year. Yeah, but Belichick went beyond Brady. Brian Flores' first year with New England was 2008.
Yeah.
So if Brady likes Brian Flores – Brian Flores is the coach of the Raiders.
I actually kind of like it there because, you know, Brian Flores sued the league. Al Davis sued the league. There's something that fits there.
I'm going to go
maybe
Brian
kindred
Flores.
Spirit.
If you're not letting me have Bill Belichick.
I'm not.
I'm going to go with Brian Flores. I'm hiring him as head coach of the Vegas Raiders.
See that yesterday about Flores where the
– He wears the vest.
The Fitzpatrick comments because he played for him in Miami. Fitzmagic went out, and they just took all the negatives. But then Fitzpatrick came out and said, watch the entire conversation to realize he's one of my friends. I still support him, but this is how it went down in Miami.
That happens so much. Yep. Where you take people out of context, and you trim the quote.
For the click. Yep.
For the clickbait, as we know all about that. All right, the last one. Brian gets saddled with, I think, the worst job out there.
Yeah, I think so, too.
New Orleans Saints, Brian. Congratulations.
Well, first off, as the owner of the New Orleans Saints, I haven't had a lot of choices here because I think all the hot candidates are going everywhere else before they come.
Wisely, they're going elsewhere.
Yeah, before they come join me as a member of the New Orleans Saints. But I'm going to take Kellen Moore as my next head coach, the offensive coordinator of the Eagles.
Brian has a type.
The offensive guys, yes.
Obscure white offensive coordinators.
I don't know why you threw race into this, but yes, offensive coordinators. The Saints' offense has been dreadful for a long time. Even going back to when the last couple years of Drew Brees, it wasn't very good. I think they need an injection of offense, and I'm going to go with Kellen Moore, who's been successful on multiple stops now.
This feels like Carolina when they hired Canales, like except for there's no Bryce Young. Like this is the worst job in the cycle. Is this one where you got to find somebody that's just a young hot shot that might turn into something because
someone that doesn't have options?
Yeah.
Could be. Maybe that, and I'm not hiring him here, but maybe that's Cliff Kingsbury because I know Kingsbury's going to get interviews, but I don't know if he's the sexiest name because of how often he's failed in his other head coaching.
I think
stops.
It's good that he's worked with Quinn, though. Like, he learn stuff from Quinn? And Cliff even talked about like stuff he's learned from Dan Quinn that he's going to take over into his next head coaching job should he get one. I think that's a good. That's a good thing to pitch yourself.
There's an interesting article on ESPN today with five guys that have head coaches that have been fired before.
I like their burgers.
And the
2-1.
Each guy talked about just what Jeremy said, like ending up coaching with someone that's either been there, done that previous as well, and we're coaching it so you could like learn what to not do and how to do it better the next time. And hopefully everybody learns from it.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of being like on somebody's tree, right? Like you gain some of their information. Now you have to apply it. Like you have to be able to apply what you learned as well. All right, so the Killer Bee coaching carousel. Vrabel's the next head coach of the Patriots. Ben Johnson to the Bears. I think Joe would like that. Joe George would like that.
He doesn't want
McCarthy. He's just glad that Mike McCarthy is not going there.
Which is weird, too. Dallas is like, no, you can't interview our coach who expires in a week, which makes it seem like they're going to sign him.
But that's the thing. If you're going to say that they can't – give him the extension right now and just be done with it, but Jerry won't do that.
It's so weird. Yeah, you can't interview him. His contract is up in a week.
You going to hire him? I don't know yet.
Jags hire Joe Brady. Jets hire Aaron Glenn. Raiders, Brian Flores. New Orleans, Kellen Moore. I think we did a good job there.
The only name that we left off, I think that's a hot name in this cycle, is Liam Cohen.
I can't see him getting a job yet.
For the Bucs.
He's had a weird career. Like, OC with the Rams, OC at Kentucky, OC... maybe back to the Rams, OC back at Kentucky, and now he's the OC in Tampa.
Yeah.
He's had a weird career.
You know what's weird about it is I think he's going to get credit for Baker, where really that credit to me belongs to Dave Canales.
Probably so.
But I think that's kind of where he's riding the wave of Baker Mayfield being quote-unquote out of nowhere.
Yeah, he was the Rams' assistant quarterbacks coach, then went to Kentucky to be the OC, to the Rams to be the OC, to Kentucky to be the OC, and now the OC with Tampa. Like, he's went back and forth between the NFL and
that
college.
That is a very weird path.
Of the last 5 years. It's bizarre. Okay, 713-780-ESPN. I need help from the Hive. I have a travel dilemma coming up on Friday. Also, did you see the TGL? Did you like what you saw with the TGL? 713, everybody's like, what's the TGL? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
I need some travel advice from the Hive. You guys can help out, too. So I have a going to Manhattan, Kansas, Little Apple, Saturday, basketball game. And I have a flight from Houston to Manhattan, but it connects in Dallas. And the weather is going to be very, very cold. And all these regional airports have already, like, canceled flights, even when the weather is not as bad. So that's an option. Just stay on that and cross my fingers, which is probably not the play. I could change the flight to Kansas City, rent a car, and drive to Manhattan about 2.5 hours. Or I could just load up the truck and drive 10 hours to Manhattan.
I wouldn't drive in these weather conditions.
So Houston to Manhattan, 10 a.m. or a 10-hour drive.
I would eliminate that one.
So which of the three should I do? 713-780-3776. Need your
Dallas to Manhattan is how long?
Probably from my house, maybe 6.5.
No. I'm saying if you have a layover or
a connection from Dallas to Manhattan. The thing with the Manhattan airport, it's a regional airport. It's very small. And they only had to do like 5 flights a day, and all of their flights, like the last 3 days, have been canceled.
Ooh,
yeah. And like I even got an email from the airline that I chose, like, hey, you might want to reschedule your flight.
So I would say that eliminates that. So then you
just
have
fly
to do
Kansas
the
City.
You have to get to Kansas City and drive.
Rent a car.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think you have to be there for the game, and I want to take risk out of it as much as possible. 10 hours in that weather, especially on some of those roads, no.
Especially through Dallas.
Yep.
Early Friday morning.
And then the chance that the airport could shut down. I think your best bet is you should be able to get into Kansas City because it's at least a somewhat major type
international airport. Yeah.
And then
they
just
opened
drive.
It up for the Chiefs. Yeah. Texter says KC and drive. Okay, I'm going to do the KC and drive thing, I think. 713-780-3776. Let's go back. Let's go to the HRMP listener line. Jerome, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Jerome?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Hey, Jeremy. Yeah, so I was going to say that would be the safest option, I would assume, just to take the KC route because it's a larger airport, and then just take a rental car and put on some tunes and walk out and head over to Manhattan, the Little Apple.
When do I put on the shoes, Jerome?
It's much safer than driving 10 hours, like right. Joel was saying. That's a big risk, you know? You don't seem to be a well-traveled man.
What?
I'm a truck driver, so I know.
appreciate the help, Jerome.
Just takes the stray at the end.
I've driven to Colorado, but that was like in good weather. Like the ice is something that I don't really want to deal with.
You don't want to mess with.
I've driven to Wichita. Like that's 8 hours, I think.
If they're all major interstates, you're in good shape. But I just can't imagine that entire trip isn't going to involve some two lanes and some pretty narrow highways.
If the weather wasn't supposed to be icy, I think I would just drive. But because it's going to be a little icy.
You got a truck with decent tires, you'd be fine.
Well, I do, but.
I said you do, but I'm saying even still, the ice factor and the roads that you're going to be on, I just wouldn't risk it.
Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Chris, you're in the Hive. Can you help me out here a little bit?
Yeah, I would drive if I was you. I haven't really checked the weather here, here in Texas, but you drive all the way up, through Wichita and Oklahoma City, Wichita, and then you go to Flying and you hang a right on I-70, and then you only have about 15 miles on the two-lane road there into Manhattan.
Okay, I'll take it under advice.
Chris,
appreciate
look
it, Chris.
At the weather.
It's actually gotten a little bit better than what it was early in the week, but there is still a winter storm warning in Dallas, which that's actually my biggest concern. It's Dallas. Like, once I'm north of Dallas, I'm not really worried about it. But Dallas, early in the morning, because I would have to leave at, like, 3 a.m., too, by the way. Mm. Like, I'd have to leave at 3 a.m. to make it for the show Friday. Which, by the way, if this flight to Kansas City gets delayed at all, you boys might be on your own.
We'll be fine.
You might be on your own on Friday. But I've looked at the flights. The Kansas City flight leaves at 8, would land at 10:30, 2.5-hour drive. I'm there by – it gives me 2 hours of wiggle room.
You're fine.
Yeah, I should be fine.
Yeah.
Assuming the roads are okay.
Yeah,
that flights don't get. Now it also is supposed to rain here Friday morning, so that could delay. That could impact my flight out.
I would definitely, yeah, keep. I just think of the options that's your best. There's no guarantee, but that's your best chance to make sure that you make it in time. We can get through the show if you. That's one thing, but you don't want to miss the game. I think that's the safest route to go.
Okay, let's take one more call on this. Robbie, you're in the high with the Bees. What's up, Robbie?
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Doing good.
I think that you should go KC and then drive in after that because that's going to be the safest thing that you can do.
Okay. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. Blankers told me to do that. Jerome, a truck driver, told me to do that. Robbie told me to do that. Chris told me he didn't, but I think Chris is a hater of mine. So
how frequently have you driven on in
not
ice,
much on ice.
And rain? Yeah, very, see, that's where low. I would not recommend it.
Yeah, I mean, I've slid on some ice on the road before. Let off the gas. Don't touch the brakes.
That's right. Don't yeah. Jam on the brakes. Tap them.
All right, I'm going to fly. I'm going to fly to Kansas City. I'm not doing the Manhattan thing though. I don't think I have a chance to make it to Manhattan.
No, sounds like if it's a small airport with minimal flights, it ain't happening.
Prop jet. All right. Did you watch the TGL yesterday?
Flipping through, I saw a few shots, but not an. I mean, the biggest thing to me was before the match started. Did you see the fact that there was a concern about the camera above the big screen that they hit into? And
Tiger did it.
And
yeah.
And Tiger was like really concerned about it. And he goes, well, do you think anybody will hit it? And on his first shot, he hit the camera.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That was pretty funny. The ratings on this were pretty good.
Were they?
TGL's opening night reached over 3.2 million unique viewers, averaged 1.2 million viewers for the entire broadcast. It was the most watched sporting event of the night, beating the NBA and college hoops. Now, there is a lot of the newness factor to this. Now, yeah. Tigers plays in the one next week.
Right.
So I bet you the ratings actually get better with Tiger.
I would agree.
But then after that, I think we start to see it wane.
Now, what's with the venues? Is that where you could go into any arena and set it up? Because
I don't think so. I think it costs like $50 million to put that together.
So there's a venue in Florida and there's a venue in L.A.?
Is there one in L.A.? I don't know if there's
one in
L.A.
I think last night was in L.A., wasn't that SoFi?
No. It was SoFi Center in like West Palm, Florida.
Oh.
Different SoFi.
Okay.
So I fell for that too.
Yeah, so maybe it's all just right there in that building.
I thought it was in L.A. too, and then I got corrected by my acquaintances.
And then I saw Max Homa because people were asking him about all the different questions about it, and he said it's not a specific course like you would play on a lot of the simulators and things. It's just specific holes that are created.
Yeah.
Which is a little different.
It is. I thought it was pretty cool. I thought it was fine. Like, I thought it was good. I'll definitely watch when Tiger's playing. There were a few things I didn't. I don't love the alternate shot between all three of them. I wish it was just mano a mano. It's a little quirky. They do 15 holes, not 18. They have, like, the hammer where it can, you know, it makes the hole worth 2 points instead of one. It's match play. I thought it was okay. I'll be intrigued when Tiger's playing in it.
It seems like it's tailor-made for Tiger because he doesn't have to walk in there.
And I can't imagine that I'll watch it, though, when Tiger's not playing, unless there's just nothing else on.
Now, Homa didn't play, right? Homa's playing on tour? Because Homa kind of...
Well, they do it on Tuesday, so even if you're playing that week, you can play in this.
He kind of kiboshed it, though, because they were like, well, what about the green?
You mean at all?
On Twitter, responding to questions, he was the one that's like, well, they're not taking any course. It just seemed like he was downplaying it. They're not taking any course. They create the hole. And then someone asked about the green. He's like, it's the same green. They just kind of try and change the undulations and blah, blah, blah,
Homa's
blah, blah.
Homa's in it. Homa's on Tiger's team.
Okay. Because it seemed like he was kind of poo-pooing it on Twitter.
You have the Atlanta Drive, Justin Thomas, Patrick Cantlay, Billy Horschel, Lucas Glover. You have Boston Common. That's a weird name. Rory McIlroy. Hideki Matsuyama, both Bostonians, Keegan Bradley, Adam Scott, Jupiter Lynx Golf Club, Tiger, Homa, Tom Kim, Kevin Kisner, L.A. Golf Club, Morikawa, Sahith Theegala, Justin Rose, Tommy Fleetwood, New York Golf Club, Matt Fitzpatrick, Ricky Fowler, Xander Schauffele, Cameron Young, The Bay Golf Club, Ludwig Oberg, I love that guy, Wyndham Clark, Minwoo Lee, and Shane Lowry. I didn't see Lee there yesterday. Maybe you have a team of four, but you can only...
One's an alternate
it's a three,
that week?
Yeah, maybe you have four men teams. That way you can always have three to play. Because it was 3-on-3.
So it's like a 3-on-3 tournament when you have a sub.
Yeah, because Minwoo Lee did not play yesterday. And then the other one, Cameron Young, did not play for New York. So it was okay. I'll be watching when Tiger's playing. I can't imagine that I'll watch when it's non-Tiger, though. Unless there's nothing else on TV. This is not appointment television, though, for me.
And Rory didn't play last night?
No.
Yeah, see, I think those are the draws. I think people are going to watch those two.
Tiger, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. Tiger's number one, but I think, and then they are the two proprietors of all of this anyway. I mean, it's funny that, you know, we can have dreams about doing things when we're sitting there in our spare time. And he goes, it's really weird that when they interviewed him, it's really weird that I just kind of thought about this one day, just kind of daydreaming it. And now here we are. Yeah, $50 million later, here we are.
Apparently it was projected to cost them $11 million, and then all of a sudden it cost them $50 million.
You better hope that the networks are paying you pretty good.
It's an awesome setup. Like, it's really cool. 60-foot screen TV. Like, there's actual short game area. Like, it's pretty cool.
The biggest negative was chipping.
Yeah, it was kind of weird.
Because the grass, you can't take divots.
Yeah, plus it was just kind of like, you know how the ball rolls differently on turf than grass?
Uh-huh.
So it was a little different.
But they said that the players struggled with the fact that you can't hit like your regular wedges, like you're going to take a divot and flop it.
You couldn't manipulate the ball like you could on grass, I feel like.
And they said it, a lot of people mentioned, it's the same green, it's the size of like, I think they said something like a private jet hangar.
It's pretty big.
But it just spins and the undulations change.
I mean, you can change it quite a bit though. Like, all of the greens look different, even though you knew that they weren't.
Hmm.
It was okay. If there's nothing else on TV and it happens to be on, I'll flip it on or whatever. But appointment television, no way. No way. Unless Tiger's playing. Tiger changes things, though.
I would be intrigued if Tiger was playing. I would probably watch some holes.
Yeah, he's on next week. His debut's next week. So you can check out for that. All right. Reed Sheppard. I thought I was out on Reed Sheppard, and he pulled me right back in. And then also Cam Whitmore catching some strays from Brick Center. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. Listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Cam Whitmore catching some, I wouldn't call him strays. He's taking some heat today for some more bad body language, pouty behavior, even though he was pretty good last night. 17 points, 18 minutes. I think he hit all three of his threes. Where are you at with Cam Whitmore?
I just think it's an immaturity thing. I think you can get over it for the time being. We're not talking about like now and I don't know because I didn't see this happen live to say that I can for certain say that he shoved Jalen, because evidently on Twitter there were multiple accounts saying that Jalen was explaining to Tari that Cam pushed him at a certain point when they were talking about things. I never saw it on the court, so I don't know if that happened or not. His body language was awful. He did, you know, kind of storm off the court, untuck his jersey. I saw people saying that he kind of shouldered Tari on the way off the floor. The camera wasn't close enough that you could verify that either. But it's not like he's going completely off the rails. It's a young kid that, because I saw people going back to Villanova and saying, this is why he slid and this is a problem. He's young. A lot of guys, we talk about guys mature at different times. The ability is unbelievable. If he's given you 18 points in 17 minutes since he's come back from the G League, every time his number's called practically, he has come up big for you off the bench, giving you scoring and more, and he's still learning about how not to do the things Ime and the team doesn't like him to do. But because it's not seemingly a distraction in the locker room, and Ime seems to be okay with this is a work in progress, I love the fact that this is more of the Cam that I think the team expected, and I think it'll get better.
Yeah, he annoys the heck out of me. This is something that I've been on for a while. I didn't see the pushing either. Like, I've never – and he seems like he – it seems like his teammates enjoy him. Like, whenever he does good things, they're out to greet him and give him high fives. And, you know, Whitmore's never the first guy on the floor to greet his teammates, and he's never the first guy celebrating a made shot. But it seems like he gets along with them. I don't feel like there's any dissent between Cam Whitmore and his teammates. Now, I have noticed at times whenever there's, like, a big dunk or a big three, and all the other bench guys on the bench are like, yeah, and Cam Whitmore's just, like, sitting there.
He's Laramie Tunsil-ing.
Yeah. And I've noticed that Cam Whitmore's first step to get back on on the defensive side of the ball is always slow.
Oh, yeah.
even after last year, and whenever he takes shots and he misses, he does pout. He pouts and is slow getting back up the floor. It doesn't always cost him like transition points, but he misses a shot and he sulks for the first step or two before he gets to the other side of the ball. When he gets the ball, he's a believer in the give and go offense. Give it to me and you can go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that from Samson. But he's not. He's definitely me first over we. I'm not a huge Cam Whitmore guy. I don't love that style. I can also understand that he can score a bunch of points in a hurry when things are going right. I can understand Ime Udoka being like, let me work on him. Let me have him for a couple more years. Because, you know, he's got the contract for drafting him with the 20th pick or whatever it was. So I'm not the biggest Cam Whitmore guy. I wouldn't be hurt if you traded him away as part of a package where you can help this team get better. But I also trust Ime Udoka in his development of the guy. But I'm not the biggest Cam Whitmore fan.
See, you know, I have been a big fan of his game, and I think that he's got all the tools. And I would just hate to see them trade him away, and then he just matures and figures that part of it out, and then he gets to flourish with all the talent that he has. And I was worried that we were never going to see even close to what we're seeing now. Now that we're seeing this and there has been progress, I don't want to pull the plug on it. I don't want to give him away cheaply in a trade.
No.
And I think that hopefully this is just a bump in the road that they can work through, because it is annoying. The pouting thing is really annoying. And at a certain point, it's going to start rubbing teammates the wrong way, especially if they're winning and he's not doing what everybody else is doing.
Yeah, and look, I don't think that anything that like got exposed yesterday by Brick Center is anything new. Like, this isn't a new story to me. I didn't see a shove. I don't think that there was a shove. But the pouting and stuff and like the bad mannerisms, that has happened since Cam Whitmore's been a Houston Rocket. So this isn't new information. But I don't like it. I think he's more me over we. If Ime can groom him out of it, he is super talented. I agree. And I'm not giving him away. I'm not trading him for Jimmy Butler. He would have to be like a part of a big trade. But yeah, he annoys the crap out of me. He really does.
And if, you know, all you had to do, if you go on Twitter too and just see how many people had the video clip and had comments to say about it, or the clips and then the accusations of what happened last night. We were talking about it last game, or because of the interview with Vanessa and then the post-game scrum in the locker room about he had a really good game, but he was very, very standoffish and very, you know, unhappy, it seemed, and was wanting to criticize himself, but then basically saying, I don't know what else I have to do to do things differently. But then Ime came out and said, I don't mind him doing that. I've got thick skin. We talk about everything. And I like the fact that he, you know, kind of has a fire in his belly. The big thing for me is, if he was your first pick this year, if he was a top three pick, he belongs on a team where they treat him more like where he thought he was supposed to be drafted. He's one of those guys with AAU and his one season at Villanova that it seems like he's got to be the man. The role player role is not something that he understands or signed up for.
And I think it's the reason he slid. I think it's the reason he slid in the draft.
I think that's fact.
Like, why else did he slide? Like, we heard that he a lot of people, when they vetted him, they didn't love the not necessarily the off-the-floor stuff. It's more the on-the-floor stuff, actually.
Mm-hmm.
6-5-1-7, just being a bad teammate. Whitmore was terrible against the Celtics. He only shows off against bad teams. He was really bad that game, mm-hmm. and he was a ball hog in that game, too. Reed Sheppard, go ahead.
Well, and the last thing on that, the one that bothered me the most, too, out of everything that was accused of him, the last shot of the game, you don't want to rub it into the other team. You're going to win the game. The clock's going to expire. And they told him, and Holiday basically almost screamed at him to say, give me the ball and run out the clock. And that's when he got really irritated. He turned, flippantly gave him the ball, and then just started to walk off the court, untucking the jersey, pissed off.
Yeah, I didn't watch the last 2 minutes because it was a blowout, and I turned it over to the TGL. But I do remember watching that on Brick Center now.
Yep.
I didn't really put
it. It was the last shot of the game, and he was going to crank up another three to get 20.
I'm going to have to go back and watch that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That brings back the Mike Evans conversation. You got to put it on a knee. Reed Sheppard, I've been disappointed with what I've seen from Reed Sheppard this year. He goes to the G League and drops 49. He got almost a half a hundo.
I thought I was out. They pulled me back in.
Yeah, goes 49. 40, he's done nothing in the NBA, and then he goes drops 49, which shows you the difference in the leagues, but drops 49 with the Vipers. It's insane.
It's what you're supposed to do if you're a bona fide NBA player when you go to the G League. If you do that to that competition, it's not, you shouldn't have many worries. I had a bunch of my quote-unquote acquaintances and friends come up. Is Reed Sheppard a bust? No, he's not a bust. I've been saying for a while now, if he's not going to get any run on the NBA level, then you should send him down to the G League to get some burn and to get some run and to stay sharp and to do these things. And his attitude, totally opposite of Cam Whitmore, is everything you want. I wanted them to do this. It kind of came up kind of suddenly, but I was all for it. I just want to play ball wherever I can play ball. And then he goes out and destroys another G League team. I caught the tweet when he had 16 in the first quarter, and I was like, okay, cool. I mean, he's having a good game. Then when I saw the final totals, I was like, well, damn.
Yeah.
He went off, and he I mean, his three-point ball, he
looked like a different player.
He's going to be fine. It's just this year, and because of the roster they have and the success they're having, there isn't a spot for him.
Yeah, I don't know what he turns into, but, I mean, he'd be a G League MVP, I'll tell you that. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Time now for the car wreck of the day. What are you nominating for the car wreck of the day? I'm going to dip out here for a second. Go do the Kelvin Sampson show, but the boys will take you the rest of the way. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Right now, I want to tell you about the good people at Allstate Siding and Windows. Allstate Siding and Windows, if you're thinking about doing anything to upgrade your house, it is the place you need to go to. They've been in town for almost 50 years. They love taking care of Houstonians. They're going to take care of you. How do I know they took care of me? My wife and I, when we got into a different house, we were thinking about ways to upgrade the overall curb appeal and to make sure that the house was exactly what we needed it to be from an energy efficient standpoint. And when we talked to Allstate Siding and Windows, it was a no-brainer to get new windows. The windows are insulated. They are hurricane proof and they are fantastic. In the summertime, they're going to keep that cool air in. In times like this, when it's a little chillier, it keeps the heat on the inside, the cold on the outside, and the overall curb appeal is fantastic. Those energy bills I was talking about, you can save up to 35 to 40% on your energy bills with new windows. And the best part of all of this is it all starts with a free estimate that only is a phone call away. They're going to come to you for free and tell you all the ways they can help. If you want to hear about siding too, they can tell you about siding. They can tell you about windows, front doors, and more. But the main thing is it's family owned and operated. They've been doing this for a long time and they want to take care of you as Houstonians. And they've got deals going on all the, across the board. 30% off on a windows job, $2,500 off a complete siding job. Free estimates available, discounts for senior citizens, military, and first responders. All it takes is a phone call. 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. Tell them I sent you by. AllstateSidingAndWindows.com. Check out all the services and the products that they have to offer.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Give me your bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Back for the final segment of the Killer Bees on a Wednesday edition. Brian and me, as Jeremy had to dip out a little bit early, but we are here to take you through the car wreck of the day.
Our beloved Coos.
Yes, thank you, Paul. And I know Paul is margarita driven. I don't know if margaritas are available at the Fertitta Center.
Yeah, Paul loves himself.
Jeez.
Did you hear him talking
about it?
Okay, yeah. He apparently went as so far as, well, not apparently, I heard it. He went so far as to say the Texans would, or he'd guarantee a Texans victory if they put in the Paul
40
El Tiempo
ounce
margarita.
Monster margarita or
that's
something
like $100.
That from El Tiempo?
I think the price kept going up every time he talked about
it.
But.
Okay. My car wreck of the day is not Paul Gallant.
No, because margaritas are great. That's not a car wreck. I agree with this take.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to spend $100 for one.
No, I'm not going to spend $40 on one at a football or basketball game. I'm not, or a baseball game. I'm not drinking a margarita.
How big is it?
I don't know.
Well,
it doesn't matter.
I'm with you on the $40, but if it's a giant-ass margarita, then I might change my mind.
I think that's what he's lobbying for, but I don't think you're going to get it, because chances are when you're getting, like, football stadium concessions, you're
like,
not going to get
it. Could be a yard.
Them.
It could be a yard.
The alcohol's going to suck in it too.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, you're probably getting well there.
My car wreck of the day is going to start with Get Up and Stephen A. and crew. They introduced the show before anybody spoke with eight of the same replay consecutively of LeBron James's dunk against the Mavericks last night.
I saw that all over X last night. Yeah, it was blowing up.
Then they came back to start talking about how a 40-year-old could do that. The only problem that I have, other than the fact that it's overkill on LeBron James, the Lakers got their ass handed to them last night. They were absolutely blown off the floor,
yeah.
Which might have been a bigger story, or at least a story, but instead to lead with the 40-year-old on one play on a dunk was just annoying to me.
That's the ESPN. I mean, I agree with you, but that's the ESPN model. They seem like their headline, their lead story is not usually, unless it's a championship, like team-oriented result. It's more about what the star did. Like, we saw that for years where the Astros would play the Angels, and the headline for the game would be whatever Shohei Ohtani did, even though the Astros would beat them like 8-3 or whatever happened to be that day. Yeah, right or wrong, and I would lean more towards the wrong, but ESPN, or at least the talking head shows on ESPN TV, lean towards let's talk about what the star did over what happened in the game, over like what the team result was in the game.
I mean, it's so annoying. And then I was just searching it on Twitter. They did the same thing on TNT last night after the second game, and Charles lost his mind going, we showed it 100 times. Like, why are we showing it 100 times?
It was a great play.
It was a great dunk. That's fine. Hey, dunks of the night, or did you see what LeBron did in the midst of getting their butts handed to them? You know, and tell the story of the Mavs first, who were playing without Kyrie and Luka and beating the Lakers. But instead, here we are celebrating on two different networks that obviously the NBA is on. But that's your lead, is the one LeBron dunk?
Yeah, no, it's not. I mean, it's not. I would certainly show the highlight. I wouldn't lead with it or show it 8 times in a row.
I don't know if you saw it or not. The lead of the night is Trae Young hit a buzzer beater from beyond half court to win the game in Utah. That would be one that I would lead with.
Sure, sure. I mean, for some of this feels like old man yelling at sky, because not in so much that the take itself, in so much that we know what ESPN and the talking head shows are going to do.
Pawns.
Like, they're always going to lead LeBron. Like, I mean, we can complain about it, and we can be right, but they're still going to do it. I mean, that's what they think sells. I mean, right or wrong.
It's extremely annoying.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've got several Car Wreck of the Day nominees, but my first one's going to go to the reaction we saw earlier in the show from the text line on Justin Verlander leaving with people. When we gave him the 1 for 10, and people go, oh, -800. I'm such a hardo. He didn't play well in the postseason. Settle down. Like, he was ALCS MVP in 2017. Overall, his playoff numbers were great. Now, I'll give you the World Series. Not great. He only had one win in his history, and his ERA was over 5 in the World Series. I will give you that. But you don't win those two World Series titles without Justin Verlander. He was probably your second most important player behind only Jose Altuve. So, the need to kick Justin Verlander on the way out, I cannot understand.
Like you said when we were talking about it, the Garrett Cole thing has all the reasons in the world why you can hate Garrett Cole going forward with the way he left.
Yes.
But if you're just going to say that Justin Verlander ran out of gas and he wasn't the same pitcher and that's why they seemingly mutually agreed to part ways, he wanted more money and a chance to pitch, and the Astros said, we're not going to do that, and they walked away clean, you have to remember all the good and all the things that he did here that we pointed out, instead of just going, let the bum ass leave, and all the people that were pointing fingers and kicking him on the way out the door. Without him, I'm not sure you have one, let alone both World Series titles.
Yeah, I would definitely make that argument for the first one. I don't think you beat the Yankees in the 2017 ALCS without Justin Verlander, so I would definitely say you don't have the first one. And yeah, like, if he had handled this like Garrett Cole, putting on the Scott Boras hat. I know he's not represented by Scott Boras, but just an agent. Putting on the Scott Boras hat, going to the Yankees, or holding you hostage and waiting out to the last minute like Carlos Beltran did back in the day. I could get being angry about that, but look, you didn't want to pay him $15 million for this year because his performance declined. Yeah. So it doesn't make any sense why he'd be angry. He's an older player. Are you going to get angry that he got older and his performance declined? Every guy in that position has his performance decline.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
I don't either. And I'm like, you know what? It's just, it's one of those things to me that's so amazing about fans, especially in sports that we deal with. It's always remembering how it ended instead of remembering all the good times that may have come with it when they came here.
Yeah, you forget about 6.5 years of great because of one bad.
So is that winning?
I think that's my, I would make that my Car Wreck of the Day.
Yeah, because it's hard to justify that. We can justify why both networks did it because they carry the NBA and everybody loves them some LeBron if you're an exec in the league. But from the standpoint of Astros fans, you got to be better than that, man.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's a bad look.
No, I get it if you want to crap on McCullers because of the fact that he hasn't played for the last several seasons and all he's done is get you those curveballs in that win. But Verlander's done way too much for you to crap on him.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue you could win the World Series without McCullers. You can't argue that for Verlander.
No doubt. All right, well, we appreciate y'all listening. For Brian and Jeremy, I'm Joel. We're going to be back tomorrow with another edition of the Killer Bees. Stay tuned. What's Brian, what's coming up next?
Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis.
Glenn Davis, my man.
Aggie Basketball, 7:30.
Stay tuned for Soccer Matters and Aggie Basketball. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Hive. Have a great night. It is the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.